This week we will be studying the reign of Rehoboam's son Abijam in 1 Kings 15:1 through 8, and we will also consider its complement in 2 Chronicles 13, where he is alternately called Abijah. Herein we will read of his morally conflicted reign and the story of his most significant battle against Jeroboam, in which he captured some cities of Israel. Your passage for consideration is 1 Kings 15:1 through 8, and also 2 Chronicles 13. And if you have not read those yet, I recommend that you pause and do so now. As one is prone to do in the Book of Kings, we are ping-ponging back and forth between the northern and southern kingdoms. Last week we talked about Jeroboam in the north, and this week we're back in the south again. In the 18th year, when Jeroboam was reigning in Israel to the north, Abijam took the throne of Judah in the south. Abijam was the son of Rehoboam, who had been Judah's previous king. We note that this being the 18th year, there had been about a year of no king, since Rehoboam died in the 17th year. And according to both 2 Chronicles, Abijam reigned for a short 3 years. The passages do not clearly agree, though, on whom his mother was. The first names are similar enough that this could just be an alternate spelling or a misspelling. 1 Kings has Maka, and 2 Chronicles has Micaiah. That leaves me fairly confident that we're talking about the same woman here. However, the passages list her father under two very different names. 1 Kings says that her father was Abishalom, while 2 Chronicles says that his name was Uriel-Gibeah. I have no clean explanation for the difference, but the standard suppositions apply. Ancient Israelites often went by multiple names. One passage might list a biological father who died, while the other lists a man who stood in his place. Perhaps she was the child of a levirate marriage, such that her legal father was dead and her biological father had sired her on his behalf. It's hard to say what the correct answer is, but one thing I know for certain, she had only one father. More important than that is Abijam's reign. It was short, only 3 years. And I suppose this was because, as 1 Kings makes clear, he was not wholly true to Jehovah. It is unclear to me how he was not wholly true. Maybe he started out serving Jehovah and abandoned him later, or maybe he started out unfaithful before later repenting, or maybe he was never really faithful at all and just had some mix of faithfulness. And we'll get to more questions about that momentarily. But the objective of these kings of Judah was to measure up to their forebearer, David, whose only major fault had been the matter with Uriah the Hittite. And they were not doing so. Abijam was not like his great-grandfather. On the whole, he was unfaithful to God, and he led his people into sin. The kingdom would remain with David's dynasty because that had been God's promise, not because these people were living up to it. And so Abijam had war with Jeroboam, just as his father Rehoboam had had. 2 Chronicles gives us an in-depth descriptor of that which 1 Kings does not give. The battle between them occurred at Mount Zemaraim in Ephraim. Our map has Zemaraim, with a question mark, on the road between Mizpah and Bethel, just across the border between Benjamin and Ephraim. It seems to me like there's not much other place that this mountain could have been. This, then, was an aggressive war on Abijam's part. He was going across the Judah-Israel border to take land from Jeroboam, and indeed, that's what ended up happening here. We read here that Judah went into a certain battle against Israel outnumbered. Israel had twice as many men, 800,000 against Judah's 400,000. Those aren't good odds. Before the battle started, Abijam, here called Abijah, gave a speech to the opposing army which displays a clear intention of demoralizing them. And it is an interesting little speech. First, Abijam starts with a history that betrays his motivations in attacking Israel. First, he says that the northern tribes of Israel had been given to the house of David by a covenant with Jehovah. That is not quite a fair assessment. We know from 1 Kings 11 and 12 that the split between the kingdoms happened because Solomon had turned from serving Jehovah exclusively, and that this was God's own judgment. However, we also remember from that story that Rehoboam, Abijam's father, had believed it was his right to rule over the northern tribes as if they were his slaves. Apparently, he passed that belief on to his son. In their minds, Jeroboam was just a rebel who gathered a following of scoundrels and stole the kingdom away. By Abijam's retelling, this only occurred because Rehoboam had been young and lacked the resolve to keep them. One gets the impression that the son Abijam here intends to set the world right with his father's worldview. And then in verses 8 through 12, we have my questions about whether or when Abijam was faithful to Jehovah, because in those verses he accuses Israel of serving false gods and driving out Jehovah's priests. To the contrary, he presents Judah as faithfully serving Jehovah, having his priests and observing his ordinances. That is curious because, of course, as we had read, neither Rehoboam or Abijam were following Jehovah, or at least they were not doing so consistently and wholly. So this may be before Abijam abandoned the one true God, or after he repented for having done so, or perhaps he was just half-hearted about things, or maybe this was just a ploy. Whatever the case, if Abijam could undermine Jeroboam's rule and his religion, he might make the soldiers question their motivations for fighting, convincing them not to fight so hard or to quit the battle altogether. It is unclear how much of an effect his speech had on the outcome of the battle, but it is clear that Jehovah did help Judah overall. The odds were stacked badly against Judah. They had half as many men, they were on enemy territory, and perhaps worst of all, they were surrounded and did not know it. That is a dire military situation. With an army just as big as yours in front of you and another army just as big as yours behind you, you've got nowhere to run if things go badly, and one would think that they would. This fight is truly do or die. And yet Abijam and his men won the day. 500,000 of Israel's men fell, more than Abijam had in his entire army. The passage three times attributes this victory to Jehovah, who helped the men because they relied upon him. So surely there was at least some sincerity in the men of Judah at that time, whether or not there was in their leader. And with his victory over Jeroboam, Abijam took some villages. Bethel, we know, that was the northern extent of Benjamin and the southern border of Ephraim. It was the place where Jeroboam had put his golden calf. Ephron, which BibleAtlas.org associates with Ophrah, and Jeshana were two other cities generally north of there. To take those cities, Abijam would have moved the border north of Judah by maybe 5 miles. And so in his short reign, Abijam was militarily successful and mighty. The passage gives us a few more details about him, namely that he had 14 wives and 22 sons. His acts were recorded in the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah, not to be confused with the biblical books of Chronicles, and in the story of the prophet Iddo, which is no longer extant. And so Abijam died. He was buried in Jerusalem, the city of David, and his son Asa reigned in his place. As for Jeroboam, king of the north, he never really recovered from that battle. If he was injured there, we don't know it. He may simply have never recovered militarily, but he died not long after Abijam, in the second year of Asa. 1 Kings 14, 19-20 give us a few extra details about his death. Jeroboam's acts were recorded in the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In all, he reigned for 22 years, encompassing the reigns of Rehoboam and Abijam in the south, and then his son Nadab took his place. And so another generation of kings passed from the scene. To conclude, 1 Kings 15, 1-8 and 2 Chronicles 13 tell the story of the reign of Abijam. He had a short reign, and the record is mixed in reporting his service to God. By one account, he was wicked, or at least not wholly faithful, but in the other, he called on Jehovah for victory in battle over Jeroboam and won. We also find here the end of Jeroboam, the man who split the kingdom. Next week, we contemplate a new generation of kings.
For those of you who are listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.